The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. Lord, I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, coming to you live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network on this 30th day of January 2020. And was it Bruce that mentioned the iTunes? He said in tune, but it's actually tune in. Yeah. At any rate, we just took a look at that, and the schedule has not been updated for a very long time. So Michael is looking at that right now, putting in the request to change the information and get it updated. So there you go. Well, Chuck Carlson We Hold These Truths just interviewed Baldwin a week ago. Maybe going to ask Chuck to put a good word into the pastor here. All righty. In this report from Catholic Family News, and they do a series, in this that was sent to me, and again, thanks, Tom, for sending this to me. There's a picture of a Palestinian father and his two children. This is back in the summer of 2017. They're just standing there looking around. They're standing right outside of their humble little abode. And they look on in dismay after Israeli officials ordered him to dismantle an addition to his house, forcing the family of five to live in a 430-square-foot home. What do I have there, Mike? Okay, I'll take one more call, and then I'm going to get into this next issue here. Story by Gary Taphorn about Trump, about the Middle East, the Palestinians, important stuff. Al in West Virginia. Hello, Al.
Hey, John. I'm sorry to interrupt you there. I just, after chance, called. I always wanted somebody to explain to me how come. And I'm not an avid follower of him or anything like that, but what I did listen to sounded like he was pretty much on key was why everybody ostracizes Dr. David Duke.
Well, because you don't know the answer to that, Al?
No, I really don't. I really don't.
Really?
I haven't listened to him.
Really? You don't know why, Al? Have you listened to him for all these years?
No. I have. I've only listened to him for every once in a while when I hear him speak.
Okay.
Every once in a while in the last two or three years.
Because he's been all over this Israel thing. He's been out there. He has been designated as being a white supremacist and a hater of anything but white. And
but right. Are we supposed to believe that he is that way? Or because he swears up and down that he has no problem with other races. It's just that he believes that we should keep our genetics going so that everybody, keeps their own race going.
Oh, so that makes him a racist for trying to keep the gene pool pure.
I don't know. Can you
I wasn't ready to give a dissertation here on David Duke. A better question to that, I'll tell you who would be the better person to answer that would be Jamie Kelso. Jamie Kelso used to work very, very closely with David Duke. So get the program following this one to get his take. If you call in, it would be a refreshing break from listening about Trump or talking about Trump and ask him about David Duke and get from him. Here's the guy that spent more time with him, and I think he spent with his own wife.
When does this come on?
Jamie Kelso, following this program.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay,
then. All right, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, Al. All right. Jerusalem, America's Self-Inflicted Wound by Gary Taphorn, and again, Catholic Family News Series. On December 6th, President Donald Trump announced the formal American recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and directed that steps begin to relocate the American embassy from Tel Aviv. The president's decision was orchestrated by Trump's Jewish son-in-law, Jared Kushner, but opposed by all of Trump's national security team, including Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, Secretary of Defense James Mattis, CIA Director Mike Pompeo. For his part, the 36-year-old Kushner, whose paternal grandparents were Holocaust survivors, hardly gives the impression of an unbiased broker as the president's unofficial Middle East peace envoy. Indeed, he appears more as a babe lost in the woods of a century of conflict between Arabs and Jews. Incongruously, the president's announcement stated that his decision is not intended in any way to reflect a departure from our strong commitment to facilitate a lasting peace agreement. We want an agreement that is a great deal for the Israelis and a great deal for the Palestinians. We are not taking a position of any final status issues, including the specific boundaries of an Israeli sovereignty in Jerusalem or the resolution of contested borders. On the issue of Israeli treatment of Palestinians, no one in the world has more ready access to information on current events than the President of the United States. If Trump or Kushner had bothered to inquire, they would have educated themselves about recent Israeli activities and policies toward the Palestinians in East Jerusalem and other occupied territories. Information that is widely available from Jerusalem and the wider Middle East to the United Nations, to the State Department, although not in the mainstream media, the entities below are a small and random sample. They go as follows. As reported by the International Middle East Media Center, in the first 10 months of 2017, the Israeli government carried out 76 full or partial demolitions of Palestinian structures in East Jerusalem because of permit issues. These demolitions displaced 192 Palestinians, including 111 children. Building permits for Palestinians, especially in East Jerusalem, are routinely denied, while Jewish settlements inside the West Bank continue to be built at a brisk pace. In a recent five-year period, the Israeli government issued 11,603 building permits in Jerusalem, of which only 878, less than 8%, were for Palestinian neighborhoods. This is in spite of the fact that Palestinian homes and businesses are older, smaller, and in greater need of upkeep. According to a December 17, 2017, report by the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem, the Israeli government routinely denies or fails to respond to requests from Palestinians in the Gaza Strip for medical treatment that is available only inside Israel. Citing World Health Organization statistics, B'Tselem noted that the Israeli government approved only 53% of such applications, leaving over 9,000 Palestinians, these are 2017 figures through September, without the medical care that is readily available to citizens of Israel. Former British Prime Minister David Cameron is one of the many who have called the Gaza Strip an outdoor prison camp. According to another recent report by B'Tselem, Israel has been exploiting the West Bank in order to treat waste, including hazardous waste, generated in Israel. In doing so, Israel abuses its responsibilities as an occupying power. and exposes the Palestinian residents to environmental and health hazards. The 2016 State Department Human Rights Report for Israel and the Occupied Territories, as in previous years, cites a systemic and brutal pattern of discrimination and prosecution by both the Israeli governments and the Jewish settlers against Palestinians and other non-Jews in areas far too numerous to be listed here. To be sure, the Palestinian Authority also comes in for its share of criticism, but it pales in comparison to the scope and pervasiveness of human rights violations by Israel, which touts itself as the only democracy in the Middle East. Yet another source of opinion for the administration might have been the various Christian leaders in Jerusalem. In an open letter to Trump, the 13 patriarchs and other heads pleaded with the president to continue recognizing the present international status of Jerusalem. The letter noted that such steps, that is, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, will yield increased hatred, conflict, violence, and suffering in Jerusalem and the Holy Land, moving us farther from a goal of unity and deeper toward destructive division. However, Trump apparently preferred to take his advice from American evangelical Christians such as anti-Catholic John Hagee, head of the Christians United for Israel. In a December 10th email to his supporters, Hagee bragged about his influence with the president, noted that he and his wife had dined with the president and the first lady, and that Sufi, and that again being the Christians United for Israel, members had sent 137,000 emails to the White House in support of the embassy move. On the issue of America's passion and attachment to Israel, regardless of one's opinion of Trump, it must be admitted that he has kept his campaign promise about Jerusalem. In fact, according to the 2016 Republican platform, Israel stands out among the nations as a beacon of democracy and humanity. The actions of the Israeli government, as referenced above, scarcely reflect a statement. Further in the GOP platform, we recognize Jerusalem as the eternal and indivisible capital of the Jewish state. Now, this statement is curious for two reasons. Firstly, if Israel is a Jewish state, is there no room for people of any other faith, such as the Palestinian Christians? Secondly, is there not some arrogance in the term eternal capital, a phrase originated by the Israelis themselves? What other country refers to its capital as eternal? Well, certainly not in the United States. The GOP platform is not significantly more effusive in support for Israel than the Democrats. Indeed, both parties have been vying to outdo each other in support of Israel for nearly half a century. Although American Jews have been traditionally associated with the Democratic Party, the Republicans in recent years have surpassed the Democrats, as evangelical Christians and other so-called Christian Zionists have gravitated to the GOP. While the two parties may disagree on dozens of issues, from energy policy to tax reform, unstinting support for the Jewish state is a constant. Congressional enthusiasm for Israel is apparent in a number of ways. Here we will note only two. In the area of foreign aid, Israel, although hardly a poor country, continues to receive more U.S. government assistance than any other country, all of it on grant-free basis. For 2018, as in previous years, Congress is expected to approve a total of $3.1 billion for Israel. Well, more than 10% of the global total. Secondly, Israel leaders have been given a distinctive honor to address a joint session of Congress on seven occasions over the past 30 years, more than any other country. The current Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has spoken three times, as often as Winston Churchill himself. By the way, that Congress approving that $3.1 billion, Mike, do me a favor, look that up, because it is well over $30 billion a year. Aid to Israel. They're saying that it's $3.1 billion. No, it's 10 times that amount. And it puts it only at well more than 10% of the global total. Now, the United States is 10 times that amount alone. At any rate, the biblical basis for the promised land. Oh, here we go. This is when faith meets politics, and it's volatile. The relationship between the Jews and the old promised land of Israel is a major theme of the Old Testament. Modern-day Zionists and their Christian allies glibly refer to a handful of verses in the book of Genesis to justify their support for a greater Israel. And let me stop and digress here. They don't even know what the plan for the greater Israel is. It's the expansion of Israel to absorb half of the Middle East. That's the greater plan for Israel. Just wanted to make that clear. Principally among them are the following, citing promise from the good Lord to Abraham. That day God made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To thy seed will I give this land, from the river of Egypt even to the great river of Euphrates. And I will give to thee and to thy seed the land of thy sojournment, all the land of Canaan for the perpetual possession, and I will be their God." Conveniently forgotten in any reference to the concept of covenant, which was introduced in the following verse. Again God said to Abraham, "And thou therefore shalt keep my covenant and thy seed after thee in these generations." While God spoke here of the circumcision as a requirement to abide by the covenant, it's clear from subsequent text that God wanted a little bit more than that. Centuries later, Moses warned the Israelites about the behavior that God would demand of them as a quid pro quo in that covenant. In Leviticus, he cautioned the people that their possession of the promised land would be dependent on their fidelity to God's moral law. Defile not yourselves with any of these immoral things with which all nations have been defiled, which I will cast out before you, and with which the land is defiled, the abomination of which I will visit, that it may vomit out its inhabitants. Keep ye my ordinances and my judgments, and do not any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these detestable things the inhabitants of the land have done that were before you, you have defiled it. Beware then, lest in the manner it vomit you also out. If you do not like things as it vomited out the nation that was before you, every soul that shall commit any of these abominations shall perish from the midst of his people. That was Leviticus 18:24 through 29. On the eve of the Israelite entry into Canaan, the warning of Moses to his people turned to virtually a stark threat, as conveyed in Deuteronomy. "If you shall beget sons and grandsons and abide in the land, and being deceived, make to yourselves any similitude, committing evil before the Lord your God to provoke him to wrath, I call this day heaven and earth to witness that you shall quickly perish out of the land which you have passed over the Jordan, you shall possess. You shall not dwell therein long, but the Lord will destroy you and scatter you among all nations, and you shall remain a few among the nations to which the Lord shall lead you." And Deuteronomy, if you're looking it up, 4:25 through 4:27. In summary, the Torah provides us with the three crucial characteristics of the Promised Land. First, in the words of author Gary Burge, the land is not a possession that may be enjoyed without reference to God. Possessing this land is contingent on Israel's ongoing faithfulness to God and obedience to his law. It is not a possession that can be held independently. Second, the land is a divine gift that has expectations for covenant holiness and justice. God is watching this land. He has personal expectations for this land. It is a land that should evoke memories of his own holiness. Last, in the issue of ownership. In a profound sense, Israel never owns the land of promise. God owns this land. Leviticus 25, 23, uses this idea to explain why the land cannot be sold permanently to others. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. With me, you are but aliens and tenants. Wow. The fate of ancient Israel. History has proven that the Jews did not heed the words of Moses and the prophets, and their fate was tragic. The disappearance of 10 of the 12 tribes after conquest by the Assyrians and an exile in Babylon for the remnant within the kingdom of Judah. Although some Jews would return to Judea and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, they would never again see the brief period of glory under King Solomon. Now, they put in parentheses here, implausibly, some Christian Zionists are referring to Trump as the new Cyrus the Great, the Persian king who conquered Babylon and allowed the Jews to return to Judea and rebuild the temple. The analogy is certainly appealing to a man of Trump's ego, although it fails in several respects, but among America's evangelical Christians, the notion that their president is helping to fulfill biblical prophecy is a thrilling and galvanizing prospect. By the time Christ's public his public ministry, Israel had been under Roman occupation for nearly a century, since 63 BC. The Jews saw readily through the parables of Jesus and did not like what they heard. They didn't like it. For example, in the parable of the tenants of the vineyard, recounted in all three synoptic gospels, Jesus stated that the landowner rented the vineyard to tenants, being the Jews, who eventually beat or killed all the landowner's slaves, that being the prophets. Finally, after the tenants killed the owner's dear son, one many predictions of his own death, Jesus concluded the parable by avowing that the owner of the vineyard will come and kill those men and turn the vineyard over to the other tenants. Now, the story was so thinly veiled, condemnation of the Jewish leaders who knew that he had told this parable against them. More directly, Jesus predicted the total destruction of the newly completed second temple. And if you're looking it up, Mark 24:2, Mark 13:2, Luke 21:6, as well as the devastation of all Jerusalem, and that's Luke 19:43-44. The Six-Day War, 50 years on. As for modern Israel, its conquest of Jerusalem, the West Bank, and other territories in the 1967 Six-Day War have been widely proclaimed miraculous by ardent Christian Zionists and atheistic Jews alike. A more realistic assessment has been provided by the CIA to President Lyndon Johnson 2 weeks earlier, noting that Israel could defend successfully against simultaneous Arab attacks on all fronts, or hold any three fronts while mounting successfully a major offensive on the fourth. From that point on, Israel became an occupying power by international law. It even unilaterally annexed East Jerusalem and eventually the Golan Heights. For the next 50 years, it has refused to abide by the ensuing United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 that established the principle of land for peace. Likewise, it refused to acknowledge the applicability of the Fourth Geneva Convention governing the duties of one nation occupying the territory of another. The great irony here is that this convention was implemented in 1949 and with Israeli approval to prevent a reoccurrence of the Nazi atrocities that so devastated the Jews of Eastern Europe. Israel's actions vis-a-vis the native Palestinians have since evoked widespread comparisons to the apartheid regime of South Africa. And of course, apartheid ended over 20 years ago, whereas Israel's patently unjust policies have continued unabated. Let me make a note here. The apartheid regime of South Africa? You don't hear about apartheid anymore. It's because the communists have taken over, haven't they? That is historical, and it's undisputed. The ideology of Zionism. Catholics who wish to understand the phenomenon of modern Israel must start with an appreciation of two things, the ideology of Zionism and the significance of Jerusalem. First, Zionism was and is a secular and socialist movement which has no place for religion other than its reliance on Orthodox Judaism as a convenient prop. As noted recently by author Shlomo Sand in Israeli newspaper Haaretz, Zionism as a national movement that rebelled against historical Judaism was mainly atheistic. Most of its leaders and activists ceased believing in redemption through the coming of the Messiah, the long-standing essence of the Jewish belief, and took their fate into their own hands. The power of the human subject replaced the power of the omnipotent God, while the origin of Zionism is attributed to the Jewish Austrian journalist Theodor Herzl. Its success was made possible only by scores of atheistic revolutionary Jews who migrated to Palestine from the vast lands of the Russian Empire. These figures are honored today as pantheon of Zionism, including such notables of Vladimir Jabotinsky, Leon Pinkster, Eliezer Ben-Yehuda, and future Israeli prime ministers such as David Ben-Gurion, Menachem Begin, and Yitzhak Shamir. It also should be noted that revolutionary Jews were also the driving force behind Bolshevism in Russia at the same time. Numerous authors, including Winston Churchill, have remarked on this linkage. Moreover, the most critical dates in the timelines of both the Bolshevik and Zionist movements came within days of each other in the fall of 1917. On November 2nd, the famous Balfour Declaration, issued by the British government, gave crucial diplomatic support to Zionism, indicating that Britain favored a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine. Less than a week later, October 25th through the 26th, by the Russian calendar, the Bolsheviks seized control of the city of Petrograd and the Winter Palace, thereby taking control of the Russian government. And again, I think this pretty well spells out that you had these atheistic Jews that was the start of communism and the fall of Russia to then become the Soviet Union. Coming up here on break, let me see if I can... Real importance of Israel, the second point of Catholics concern the city of Jerusalem. The real and eternal significance of Jerusalem has nothing directly to do with the Jewish people, but rather with the lives of the two persons central within dispensable to the salvation of all mankind, that being Mary and Jesus. The Blessed Virgin was Jerusalem's most favored daughter, whose birthplace by tradition was near the temple and is commemorated by the Crusader Church of St. Anne. On the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, just celebrated on December 8th, the Church applies the praise to Mary which was originally offered to the Old Testament heroine Judith. Well, couple of different perspectives coming from Christians, one being Catholic, and I don't know, how does Chuck Baldwin declare himself what kind of Christian? I'm not quite sure. At any rate, a little note here, looks like $3.8 billion alone for military and missile defense last year, and the same request for this year, $3.8 billion. But folks, this is not the total aid package. It is well over $30 billion a year. What is this note you have here on page 2 after the table of contents?
That's where I got the numbers. I can't find
it. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you're not going to find it because that's one of those scrubbable facts that, well, we can't factually state that because that might upset too many people. Yeah.
8 million in loan guarantees.
Mm-hmm. Well, this comes from the Congressional Research Service. It says Israel is the largest cumulative recipient. Don't we have a break? Pot up? You turned it on. Yeah, I need to go to the little boy's room if you don't mind. Okay, we'll be back in a couple minutes. Excuse me, folks. Nobody of it is worth it.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Think things over.
According to Congressional Research Service, U.S. foreign aid to Israel, and this says that this report provides an overview of U.S. foreign assistance to Israel and includes a review of the past aid programs, data on annual assistance, analysis of current issues. For general information on Israel, see Israel Background and U.S. Relations in Brief, by Jim Zanotti. Israel is the largest cumulative recipient of U.S. foreign assistance since World War II. To date, the United States has provided Israel with $142.3 billion. In adjusted dollars, in bilateral assistance and missile defense funding. Almost all U.S. bilateral aid to Israel is in the form of military assistance. Although from 1971 to 2007, Israel also received significant economic assistance. Yeah, significant. That's what they're not spelling out here. In 2016, the U.S. and Israeli government signed a new 10-year Memorandum of Understanding on military aid, covering fiscal year 2019 to fiscal year 2028. Under the terms of the MOU, the United States pledges to provide $38 billion in military aid, $33 billion in foreign military financing grants, plus $5 billion in missile defense appropriations to Israel. Hmm. So if I'm doing my math here, 38 billion in military aid, 33 billion in foreign military and financing grants, plus 5 billion. Okay, it's a breakdown in missile defense appropriations. Israel is the first international operator of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. Well, good. We gave them a lemon. Thank you. May they fall out of the sky like birds with broken wings. And they will. Israeli, the first international operator of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, the Department of Defense fifth generation stealth aircraft, considered to be the most technologically advanced fighter jet ever made. That's what the advertising brochure says, folks. But that ain't quite the case. To date, Israel has purchased 50 F-35s in three separate contracts. So the military-industrial complex did get over on the Israelis. But guess what? With our own money. Yeah, we give it to them and then they buy. Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Let me see if I can grab this quickly. That just reminded me about the F-35. They have more problems than what people have been led to believe. Amazing. Do I have any callers there, Mikey? Tom in Florida. Go ahead, Tom.
Good evening, John. Very, very, very informative information you're putting out there. Excellent. Yeah, John, and before I get on what I want to say, maybe I'd like you to read Romans chapter 11, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21 to your audience. That would really give them a little wake up there. But, yeah, you're talking about the money that the United States and the taxpayers of this country are giving Israel. I believe it's closer to $65 billion a year if you count the military and all that. Yes, I've seen that in they have the Jane's military book, John, I saw years ago, where the United States is, most of the money is going to Israel for military.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. So, what is exactly the Israeli military adventurism? What have they done over there that would justify all that aid to their military program and aiding them and buying our junky F-35s and everything else? We've been over there fighting their proxy wars for them for damn near 20 years at the cost of millions of Arab lives over there and trillions of dollars.
Well, John, I think you answered that earlier when you said that they probably got a better air force. They almost probably had the best air force in the world, and that's when they realized air superiority is what it all takes. So there you go. There you figure. You go figure that one. I mean, getting our technology. And, you know, it's funny, when you look at NASA, we got the rocket reprogram, and, we were able to send a man to the moon, supposedly, and everything. I believe that, and I believe that we'll put a man on Mars. But you can bet. You can bet a lot of this 60, 70 technology. I don't know how Israel got to be so powerful in such a 10-year period. No other country in the world got as powerful militarily as they did. How? And you know how. It's American taxpayers who, look, John, I really wanted to ask you about something else, but I told you about Romans chapter 11, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. It's going to basically tell you what's going on. It's right there in that book, New Testament. But the thing I'm trying to bring out is in the 60s, they had better tanks than all the Middle East countries combined. They had better tanks and fighter planes. And I mean, we know where they got that from. But when you look at World War II, World War I, over 90% of the men who did the battles in those wars were Christian men. It's right there. And you can look it up statistically. 90% of all the males who went to battle for World War I and World War II and Korea, they were Christian men out of the United States of America, John. Am I lying?
You know, it's that melding of the two diverse but seemingly seamless Judeo-Christendom, of which a lot of people, including Chuck Baldwin, thank God, I finally woke up to. All right. I'm going to continue here, okay, Tom. I appreciate your call. Okay. Thank you. Pentagon reveals the F-35 Lightning's guns don't shoot straight and are cracking, and scathing report that demands Lockheed Martin fix 873 flaws on their $100 million stealth fighter jet. Guess who's going to get the bill for that one, folks? That's right, from Israel. Oh, we understand there's some operational problems and fixes need to be made. Okay, you get to pay for it. No, whatever happened to buyer beware? Report due this week lists flaws that need to be resolved with the F-35 Lightning. More than 800 software bugs were found in the Lockheed Martin jet. Air Force's Model 25mm gun doesn't shoot straight, and the mounts of which it's mounted to the aircraft with are cracking and falling apart. The $428 billion program has produced 491 jets so far that must be fixed. Top customers for the Joint Strike Fighter include the U.S., U.K., Italy, and Australia. Well, yeah, let's give them way over the top expensive jets that don't work. The F-35 Lightning and its problems include hundreds of software vulnerabilities and guns that don't shoot straight. Air Force model of the F-35 used an internally mounted 25mm Gatling gun that has been unacceptable, the accuracy due to misalignments, according to an upcoming report from the Pentagon's test office obtained by Bloomberg. You know, time was, folks, in this country, that if somebody, whether it was Lockheed Martin or Boeing or anybody else, wanted to build any military anything, they entered into a little contest. The government would put out its requirements and award the contract to the one that came closest to all the what they wanted in their new fighting jets. Okay, but also cost is a consideration as well. Well, the quality is out the window and the cost have gone through the roof. The Marine and the Navy versions of the Joint Strike Fighter use an externally mounted version of the gun that does not have the same issues, according to the report. The report from the Defense Department's Director of Operational Test and Evaluation, which could be publicly released as soon as tomorrow, identifies 13 must-fix problems that affect safety or combat capability. It does not reveal any major new failings in the plane's flying capability, however. It's got enough problems. They don't want to know of any more, or they don't want to let anybody know of any more. The number of software deficiencies totaled 873 as of November, according to the report. But that's double plus good because it's down from 917 a year earlier. Wow, really making headway here. The report also identifies a number of cybersecurity vulnerabilities that were identified in previous reports but have not yet been resolved. Brent Ashworth, a spokesman for Bethesda Lockheed Martin, told Bloomberg that although we have not seen the report, the F-35 continues to mature, is the most lethal, survivable, and connected fighter in the world. You know, I just have this funny feeling. And this has been touted, possibly, the F-35 is the last manned jet fighter. So maybe this was just a stopgap to bilk everybody of a lot of money, and it'll quietly go by the wayside as the new technology is developed. You know, you don't want pilots. You know, these are human beings that they have to make judgment, and well, you know, not all those guys always do the exact same thing that you want them to, and, you know, pilots might have a little thing called conscience. You know, you got the joystick boys, how many missions from unmanned drones in the Middle East? Joystick boys sitting in remote locations staring at little screens going and blowing up the bad guys. It's like a video game. It's like it's not even real. Brent Ashworth went on to say, he said, reliability continues to improve with the global fleet, averaging greater than 65% mission-capable rates and operational units consistently performing near 75%. What you're just saying here is 35% of mission capable of these jets, these F-35s, 35%, they're not capable, that's an acceptable rate, but their operational units consistently performing near 75%, which is saying 25% can't perform, probably can't even be flown off the ground. But these things are massively expensive. You know, I once asked the question, what would it take to retrofit Tomcats or, say, the venerable little F-16? How many F-16s could you buy with all the latest gadgetry on it? What could you put those out to market a fraction of the cost of these F-35s? So far, at least 491 F-35s have been delivered to customers, including the U.S., U.K., and Australia, and the Netherlands, at a cost of roughly $100 million apiece. A tenth of $1 billion, folks, for a plane that it's not even operational. It's operationally not even plausible. It sits in maintenance hangars. Amazing. What do you got?
Ed in Utah.
Ed in Utah. Go ahead, Ed.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, John, it's been a while. Couple things. You were talking about David Duke, or you had a caller bring him up. And the other thing is I like what's on the news site you have. Concerning is this, the question being posed, is this a duel? Is this a battle between elites in America? And I'd like to hearken back with that comment, or with that thought, to the late Michael Piper. As you know, of course, you had him on there, RBN, and the American Free Press writer, and author of dozens of books. But Piper, he brought this up many, many years ago, John, not only in Final Judgment, where the Israelis killed John F. Kennedy, our president, outright, for the same type of policy. But he said that the Trotskyites were basically the finesse, more, if you will, some of the high finance people behind movement in this world, and they were more inclined to work with the, quote, Republicans, or into the Republicans, whereas the Marxist Jews, obviously for many decades, and to this day still, dominate the Democrat Party. So, to that end, I'm going to say that is a brilliant heading on the website, because it is a battle between these two elites. And I cite as my proof, you have, what do you have? Well, to borrow the recent phrase of David Duke, John, on his website at davidduke.com, he has some pretty harsh words along the lines, and maybe even harsher, than Pastor Baldwin on the Trump matter. And as he brings up, David Duke says, you look at who we've got here, Elliot Engel, Jerry Nadler, Schmuck Schumer, and of course Adam Schiff. There, these four Marxist Jews, there is your modern Sanhedrin. There is your Sanhedrin. But who's defending Trump? Why, the former Never Trumpers, Jay Sekulow, these neocons, they're the ones defending him.
Yep.
And look at the pot he's in, Mr. Trump. Look at the pot he's in. He is doing the things that Cruz and Jeb Bush promised to do, and that he said he wouldn't. But now this pot is cooking him, as David Duke so eloquently points out. So I find your website headlines very, very good and very to the point that we do have the elites battling. Only it's not the American people's battle. It's our real battle, but we're just sitting here watching as we have to, because so many of the fellow Trump supporters that I pushed to vote for Trump were in that Ted Cruz crowd. The neocon crowd, John. I had to push to vote for Trump. Now you can't get him away from him because he's doing the bidding of beloved Israel.
Yeah.
Those who say they are Jews that are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
And Ed, that's the root of the problem here. That I've been saying this for a number of years. And there are some that have suggested that I've been too hard on this issue, and that if I wouldn't have been this hard on the Jews and telling the truth about the Zionists and the Ashkenazis, that somehow I'd be a little bit more popular. Well, I don't doubt that for a moment. If I went out there and kissed Israeli arses just for the sake of kissing them to enjoy being left alone, or maybe getting contracts, or maybe having a glowing network on the Hill that does everything but tells you the truth about the Zionism, the real true root of communism and socialism and these lefties around the world. I think this is pretty important to include, don't you?
Very much so. And when you look at how dangerous they are with Harvey Weinstein, Jeff Epstein, that they can brutally get away with torturing or and pimping our children and using it as blackmail against these politicians.
Yeah.
That's where some of the silence came on 9/11, John, was Epstein was at work behind the scenes working for the Mossad, and his daughter runs free today. Hillary runs free today.
Yep.
But who's not maybe free? Is Stone, the friends of Trump that stood by him, Julian Assange, they're dying in prison or going to prison.
Yep.
This is where we're at.
I understand. I appreciate your call, Ed. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown. So I've started out for God knows where.
We are back. By the way, I'm having Mike post up from Rebel News. Greta Thunberg Incorporated, the expose. You will find this rather fascinating. While the media in this country, oh, Time Life, and oh, she's on magazine covers, and she is the new little messiah that's going to come out and save the world against our abuse of Mother Earth. Well, watch the video. It's amazing. This little twit, all you got to do, folks, if you don't believe that the eyes are truly the windows of the soul, the one thing that really doesn't apply to, and that's a true psychopath, because they themselves may not even know that they're crazier than a crazier than crazy, okay? And they can look at you through the baby blue eyes, just batting them innocently, and they might even believe that they're innocent. But this one, no. This one, truly the eyes are the windows of the soul. And I just wish this little creature would just melt away into oblivion. From whence she came, it was a manufactured process. Fred in Michigan. Hello, Fred.
She well could be the bastard spawn of Barbara Lerner Spector and one of them Chabad Lubavitch rabbis over in Sweden, eh?
Huh?
You mentioned apartheid. At the National Press Club, the week before AIPAC hijacks US.gov during the Purim, week of Purim, there's a group called the Institute for Research Mideast Policy, IRMEP, and their conference of 4 days is called the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. A year ago, a Palestinian African American, Susan Abu Hawa, whose parents narrowly escaped with their lives in 67 when the latest greatest Bolshevik Judaic communitarian massacre was occurring, she does a presentation entitled Israel Beyond Apartheid. Israel Beyond Apartheid. And she proves in last year's presentation by that title, it's on YouTube, according to my librarian, she proves with IMF, World Bank, etc., banking records, that it is, in fact, Israel, Mossad, yada yada, that is entirely, exclusively culpable, without a doubt, with the assistance of Central Insurrection Agency, in subverting, subjugating all of Africa. That's the immediate Greater Israel. The greater Israel at large, according to Israel Shahak, formerly a Hebrew University professor, now deceased, Jewish history, Jewish religion, the weight of 3,000 years. Greater Israel is the entire planet. And that's what Tex Mars documents in his books, like Blood Covenant with Destiny, Hell's Mirror, Feast of the Beast, The Destroyer, Holy Serpent of the Jews, DNA Science and Jewish Bloodline, and Voices from the Dead. And all of his books are merely a compendium of what the preeminent hell on earth.
Fred, we're flat out of time. I appreciate your call. I'm surprised you got that much in there. All right. Thank you all for being here today, ladies and gentlemen. Please support this network. One of the last bastions of truth in this country.
The comfort of your home. We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra or $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.